Decent citizen cooking, cooking, tan cooking.
This week on Happy Movies, we are talking another Klimtober selection as we go in The Phantom, a failed Batman-esque comic book kind of thing. The Phantom is an old 1930s pre-Batman super-ish hero guy. But this movie is just a ripoff of the look and the feel of like Tim Burton, but it just doesn't quite get there and ends up feeling more like a stunt show. But in the meantime, I will add Noor, a regular panelist and editor, wanted to be a part of this, but was sick, so he has edited in his own comments. So if the audio quality changes, that's what's going on. It's important. And, well, it's intentional, at least. Anyway, thanks for doing all you do. Thanks for listening. Thanks for sharing. And, bye. Welcome to Myopia Movies. This week, we watch a really, really stupid knockoff of Batman. We did 1996 is The Phantom. I'm your host, Nick Coffin. No panel we've got.
Candace, that's me.
Atlanta author Matthew W. Quinn, who read The Phantom comics since elementary school.
Wow.
So that means you missed only 70 years of the continuity, I guess.
Yeah. Because The Phantom's older than
Do
Batman.
Do you even canon?
That's right. This was a trip and a half, Matt.
This was amazing.
Yeah.
This was amazing.
So, Matt, this was your pick for your Matt month, Quintober, I think you called it.
Yeah, Quintober Fest. And I don't drink alcohol, so it says drink a lot of water, I suppose.
I see.
That sounds awful. Can you imagine a bunch of people in dirndls and lederhosen just chugging water?
Or milkshakes. My milkshake brings all the Germans to the yard, and then we drop firebombs on them.
Jesus Christ. I think we should just leave that in for
dark real quick.
Yeah, Matt and his genocide. I don't think you should call a woman in a dirndl a milkshake. I mean, it might be appropriate. Yeah, no. Okay, so Matt, why did you choose this?
Because, you know,
goings on.
You know, our original mission was childhood films. I saw this with my dad when he was in theaters.
Okay.
All right.
And it was a comic strip my dad liked, and then I liked it when it was in the Marietta Daily Journal. And they even had like in the mid-90s, they had the Phantom 2040, which is like the Phantom in the future.
Uh-huh.
And in the year 2040.
And the late 80s, early 90s, a show called The Defenders of the Earth, which is Flash Gordon, the Phantom, and Mandrake the Magician versus Ming the Merciless.
Wait, so it's in the Ming the Merciless universe?
They're all King Features characters.
I see. So this movie, you picked because you'd seen it in your past and you liked it.
Mm-hmm.
And what does it feel like watching it again 40 years later, 30-ish years later?
Well, you did raise a good point that Billy Zane plays the Phantom like it's Batman 1989. Like, he's kind of a dork.
Yeah.
And that is, you know, that'd be more appropriate if he was the Phantom in his first year, but he's been apparently doing this for 6 years now. He's a bit more seasoned.
So,
well, the Bengala tribe are the ones who know he's not a god. Everyone else thinks he's a god.
Yes, but he's still a white person saving things in the middle of the jungle.
Well, yeah, they're white person saving things. That's called World War II.
Well, this is before World War II.
Just a little.
That's right, because his father died in 1932. I saw it on the placard.
Yeah, I think our cold open is like 1938, and we're on the set of Legends of the Hidden Temple.
Essentially,
yeah. And like literally,
we're at the Mexico Pavilion in Epcot. Right.
Yeah, this the historical.
I've gone left, and I'm ready to drink around the world.
Yeah, historical context. They're afraid if Xander Drax will be another Hitler. Like they even say, dictators are rising.
Mm-hmm. And so, like the beginning of this, and I don't mean this as an insult because
I've got my skull ring here, ready to go.
He's about to skull ring fuck me. This movie rips off three things very clearly. Indiana Jones, specifically Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Yes.
Although there is a sequence right out of the second one.
Yeah.
You know, Batman 89, which you mentioned, which is right down to the sculpted rubber suit. And then at the end, when the lady shows up, it's literally Goldeneye, where you have her looking cute on the beach, and you have these long shots across the beach, which in Goldeneye is Cuba, and I believe here is Vietnam. This opening thing is a stage, like a stunt show spectacular, which is not an insult, because that's how Raiders start.
I would like to talk about the sculpted suit that you're talking about. So I had read somewhere,
at least it doesn't have nipples,
true or not, that they originally did a padded sculpted suit for Billy Zane, but that he worked out essentially for a year prior to the filming, And when he got into it, he wouldn't fit. And so they actually just gave him a leotard. That is his actual body.
I believe it.
Yeah.
The man is in immaculate shape.
He is fucking cut. He is shred and he is delicious.
I mean, I think the cow is...
says he's bald and that's a fake hairpiece.
Well, he's definitely bald more recently.
I think at this point it might still partially be his hair because this is what, 2 years after or the year of Titanic?
Titanic. Because in Titanic he was like, he's bald. You know that, right? And I'm like, why the fuck would you tell me that?
Well, first of all, the Zanes, which I think is Xanatopoulos or whatever. Dude, the man is a Greek... Dude, he's a Greek god in this movie. Like, and who's his sister?
Titanic was in 97.
Okay, so it's the next year.
Yeah, next year.
They're filming at the same time,
yes,
probably.
Yeah.
Because this movie also screams reshot. Like, they're like, there's so many times... Because at the end...
Yeah, the necklace is on, the necklace is off.
Yeah.
There's a lot of continuity issues, and
I'm here for it. Like, by the by, this cast is outrageous. You got Christy Swanson, Catherine Zeta-Jones, Billy Zane,
God.
And Treat Williams as the villain.
Yeah.
The villain I actually kind of love. He's so good in this.
Yeah, he's wonderful.
Xander Drax begins and ends with X.
That's right.
You know,
and he plays them like the carnival barker, like at the end where he's like basically trying to pimp Diane to the Pirate King, like, personal pleasure. I never thought of that.
I am.
And I mean, actually, he reminds me of Howard Stark when they have those Tony Stark flashbacks in like Iron Man 2, 3 in the Avengers movie, mm-hmm. where he's just like, don't worry, guys, I have a plan. And it's just, he's all hairpiece and talking. By the way, what I was trying to think of, his name is Xanticos, because he is as Greek as the day is long. And his sister is Lisa Zane, who's also a smoke show. And an actress.
Delicious. So before we get too deep, who's going to give the summary?
Okay, so we are going to record a plot synopsis.
Okay.
But Noor is going to interject himself throughout. In fact, might even replace the plot synopsis with his own kind of back of the DVD plot synopsis.
Oh my God.
And so this is the rare episode where, and for those of you who listened for a long time, you know, doesn't matter if it's, you know, Terminator or whatever. We always do better when we're together because we riff off of each other. And now we're going to have someone literally interjecting themselves into our show.
So wait a minute, you're saying...
Is he going to have a record scratch freeze frame sound? What the hell are you talking about?
Hello, yes, this is Noor Trinette, contributor to Myopia Movie. And you can also see me at Round Trip Brewery from time to time with Nick Candace and... whoever else. I unfortunately, as Nick alluded to towards the stay tuned the end, I just had a little too much Chipotle or Mexican food and such, and can't make it. No one wants to be around me, that's fine. But this, you guys are watching The Phantom. This is a pretty fucking it's a terrible movie. I don't know what to say, but man, Billy Zane, I don't know if y'all know who Billy Zane is. I listened to the whole podcast. They did not mention once. This is the dude from the Titanic and also the dude from Zoolander 2, the one that's trying to get Zoolander to be able to, you know, get back into the modeling career. This man is handsome as hell. I don't know. He's the only guy that I've known that had a full set of hair in the 90s and going into the late 2000s bald, looking good. I hate him. And listen, I honestly don't remember a lot of people in this movie. The dude, the James Rimmer, like, he's might be, you know, he's like one of the white people that you just see everywhere. You know, he was in the Warriors, Dexter, 48 Hours, Mortal Kombat, you know, some episodes of Sex and the City. And, of course, Catherine Zeta-Jones. If you don't know who Catherine Zeta-Jones is, she's married to Michael Douglas. I don't know how that happened. Michael Douglas just have game, but yeah, you might just hear me pop it a couple times, put in some comments here, but I truly will not interrupt this beautiful podcast. None of the momentum, none of nothing. I just might contribute here and there.
So Matt, in the interim, until Noor splices himself in, can you give us a back of the box kind of summary of what the hell this movie's about?
Okay, so before Batman, there was the Phantom. He was a small child whose family was killed by pirates in the Indian Ocean. He was raised by a tribe in East Africa and trained to fight, because like into this international crime fighter who pretty much everyone except the Bengala tribe thinks is some kind of god. They call him the ghost who walks,
okay,
because they think it's the same man. Well, it turns out it's like a father-son thing for the last 400 years.
It's a very Princess Bride.
Yeah, the Dread Pirate Roberts.
Okay, okay.
Except the Dread, this is like 70 years older than that.
Okay.
So now we're in the late 30s, and Kit Walker, Billy Zane, has just recently taken on the role of the Phantom. I thought his dad was retired. No, it turns out his dad is actually dead.
Yes,
the entire time, which I didn't get at first.
You didn't get it?
Yeah, what? It's only until he was talking to somebody who wasn't there. Because I thought he was just old and hanging around the Phantom Jungle Cave offering advice. Because, I mean, if you're like 80, you can't go around.
You were thinking like Zorro style, like how Anthony Hopkins is there, but he's like giving
this is like
to like the hot one. Yeah.
Yeah, this is like East Africa Zorro. Yeah. And they even have Catherine Zeta-Jones.
Delicious.
I mean, so, she is a hottie.
So,
dude, and she's a smoke show in this movie.
She's so smoky.
Yeah, I've got leather and an all female pirate, you know, air pirate brigade.
That's right.
But
you know, where is Don Carnage? Eat your heart out.
Where is that movie though? Like, yeah. Lady Space, like Sky Pirates. That's pretty fucking cool.
If this movie had made more money, maybe there would have been one.
Well, they set it up at the end for you could have had more, but well, let's get into it.
We definitely did not need any more of these movies.
Where's my skull ring, Nick?
By the way, you saying Africa confused the hell out of me.
Because the Phantom is based in East Africa.
I'm East African.
They're in Southeast Asia.
You know, but I thought here they were in Asia. Because the guy's name, Kumbai Singh. Singh is an Indian.
Yeah, this is the whole Indian Ocean Network. Let's put our teaching hats on.
Okay.
I'm in healthcare. I have no idea what's happening.
So Matt, put your damn teaching hat on then and explain what the hell you just said to people aggressively.
The Indian Ocean used to be the center of a worldwide trading network from like Egypt to China.
Okay.
And so if his dad is British, which I'm assuming he's supposed to be, his name is Walker. He must have been a British merchant in the Indian Ocean who was attacked by pirates off the coast of Africa. And he was adopted by an East African tribe who raised him to be like Batman.
No, and again, this is not me judging you. This is an actual question. Do they ever mention Africa in this, or is that something you read on Wikipedia? Because I could have sworn it's all in this jungle of Bengalia, and none of it has to do with Africa. Because one of the reviews I read said they were smart to avoid his African ancestry. Like, so I when you said Africa, that's why I was confused, because I thought they intentionally avoided that. Because this movie's race stuff is real weird.
The tribesmen who are with him in the beginning kind of do look a bit Asian, so I was wondering if maybe this is Madagascar. Wouldn't the Jungle Patrol be French?
Dude, again, they didn't give this any thought, because this, as you alluded to, is a comic, not a comic book. This is one of those ones where there's like four panels and it takes him like a month to get to a birthday party.
So like you're saying, it's like Garfield.
Well, it's more like Mary Hart.
See, the light of green.
It's right. The nipple turned off. The boob lights are the best.
They are.
It's more like Mark Trail or something, where it's like a serial where the action takes place over weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks.
Did Mark Trail beat the shit out of people, though?
Yes, he did. He was hunting poachers. So poachers would come up and he would shoot them, and sometimes they shot back.
Well, and I'll also throw it out there, the child that sees their parent murdered is not Kit's dad. It's whoever the original Phantom.
Yeah, his like
is.
How many great grandfathers can you have in 400 years?
20 iterations.
This is the 20th iteration
beforehand. So, I mean, realistically, I think in 20 generations they could have moved around the map a little bit.
Well, and you said child. I was thinking they have a literal short round from like Indiana Jones 2.
They do. But I'm talking about like the child on the pirate ship that jumps off. Yada yada yada.
This is all a lot.
Yeah, so if he's been operating primarily Indian Ocean Basin, you know, it's a father to son thing. The Phantom's mothers could be from any culture. Could have been played by Antonio Banderas. You know, if he's make him partly Portuguese or something.
Delicious.
I am the ghost who
walks.
At this point, I believe Antonio Banderas was being Zorro. Previous episode, Mask of Zorro, which is, dude, again,
it's amazing. That's a good fucking movie. Come on,
dude,
that slaps.
I was gonna say it's not even a dad for noon. It's just like a you want to watch like a vague like this is like Pierce Brosnan level sexy.
Yes, I agree
movie.
With that.
Like
I
this is just like that. Because Anthony Hopkins is there just drinking red wine the whole time, and Banderas is like, I am going to seduce once again. Speaking of the devil, Catherine Zeta-Jones.
I am the ghost who walks.
I cannot die.
He's the ghost who comes.
The ghost who makes you come, girl.
My lower back.
Who's going to Zorro that hoe? And then in the morning, I'm going to leave. I call that the phantom.
But instead of... But I guess...
He is the ghost who walks.
I'm the ghost who doesn't call back. I have the ghost who blocks you on Tinder.
Pretend.
But I guess they stuck with keeping him fully English because he's still Kit Walker. And he ghosted his college girlfriend, Diane Palmer, who's still apparently a bit pissed about it.
Okay, first, I'm going to correct you. You keep saying he's English. He's not. He's not doing an English accent. He's just American Billy Zane. And that's also something that's kind of weird to me. Like,
well, he tells us that even though he was born there in the cave,
he goes to
America for his education.
Yes, that's right.
So,
and
that, because remember, that's where they met in college, him and the whatever.
And the ghost who walks ghosted Diana Palmer.
It did happen that way.
And I will say, for a female character in one of these movies, she's pretty good. She's active. She doesn't become a lady in a fridge or anything like that. She's wearing her aviator pants and her tight bob, and it makes her, you know, more powerful.
It does.
Sounds like she's a girl Indiana Jones in her own right. When she shows up at the beginning of the movie, she'd been off on an adventure somewhere.
So she's
like Lara Croft, you know, 60 years early.
Let's go all the way to the beginning of the movie. Let's walk in, shall we? Let's walk through this.
Kit Walker in?
Together. Let's Kit Walker the fuck in. All right.
The HBO logo shows up.
Yeah, so we're going to show up first here in America. We're going to go to New York. Let's start off in New York, shall we?
Okay.
All right, so we're starting off at a... There's obviously a fundraiser happening at a very exclusive mansion. You'll be happy to know the mansion this was filmed at was the Playboy Mansion.
Oh,
it's a little bit of trivia there for you. You're welcome. You see this, you know, the butler's running out to chastise the person for where they're parking, only to find out that it's totally okay because she's a woman. Come on in, sweet, sweet summer child. And so he's bringing in her luggage, and that's where she enters and sees her aunt and uncle. And we meet the aunt, who's, as we can immediately can tell, very superficial. She is upset that, you know, this character who, what's her name, Diana? I don't know. She's random girl. She's Buffy. So anyways, Buffy is not yet married. So she's already like, hey, so-and-so's here. You should marry him. And, you know, she didn't say that, but trust me, that bitch means it. And then we run into the uncle, and the uncle owns the newspaper. And so he is very, like, has his finger on the pulse. He's an honest dude. He knows what's going on. And he's very happy to see her. And is happy about the fact that she is an independent woman. You know, she's likely a lesbian. She probably is a roommate. You know, just saying. Wink, wink, right?
They're just close friends.
We're really close friends.
So
close. For 70 years. The closest friends ever.
Which, by the by, I don't know if you saw this, Matt, because you're the comic book guy. This movie was produced by Hearst Publications. Which...
Hearst Publications is still around?
It is.
It was in 96.
Well, and the Hearsts are still around. One of them is married to Chris Hardwick, which makes her a loser. But at the same time, do you think that the fact that the hero of this movie is a newspaper publisher may have had something to do with the fact that Hearst was
That's really cute. I did not. Well, it was a fact I did
hey,
not.
Hey, he who has the gold.
Well, and it's a comic rules. Book.
Yeah, I'll sponsor a movie. I'll fund a movie and give me a cameo. Make me hot.
Well, actually, so this is random.
I don't think the world can take any more hotness from you, Matt. So please.
Yeah, Photoshop me about 10 pounds thinner around the middle and give me more muscle.
You don't need...
Ladies like a little around the middle. That's very in right now, just so you know.
It's called a dad bod.
It is, and it's very hot.
What I was going to say, too, is so apparently this is very random, but we talked about it. We did a Home Alone 2 for the old Cineprov Patreon. Mm-hmm. But apparently Donald Trump had a writer that whenever they filmed at one of his buildings, he had to fill the cameo, and most people just cut them. But okay, he's in Home Alone 2, that's why. It would have been great, since this is the Playboy Mansion, if wandered through a scene, or a bunny was there with a cocktail tree.
In a bathrobe. There's this old dude in a bathrobe just shows up.
Could he have been in that scene? Possibly. I mean, I didn't watch it close enough to tell, but... You know, that would have been really nice.
Check IMDb. Maybe he's in there.
I'll try to look it up later during the whatever.
I mean, but if, or if he was just one of those two grumpy dudes, like there was the chief of police and the mayor meeting.
Yeah.
If he was the chief of police and he just like had an erection for no reason, you're like,
But see, we couldn't have him play that part because it is important that we meet the mayor and the chief of police because we are finding out that when Xander, starts with an X, ends with an X, shows up, the aunt is very excited. She's like, oh, he gave so much money. And the newspaper guy's like, you need to give that money back. He's a bad guy. He's very crooked. He's a bad person. And the chief of police and the mayor are not quick to jump and say, yeah, we agree. He, you know, get him out of here. They are very neutral, passive, and our questions lie, where are their loyalties?
This dude is basically Michael Corleone in Godfather 3. You'd think he's legitimate, but he controls like a big corporation. He also controls the union. How he manages both sounds mafia.
Well, but that's what these comics were. Like, you know, and frankly, a lot of the early Batman stuff was, right? Like we think of the Batman as fighting Joker, but he also fights the mafia and he fights corrupt officials.
Yeah, I agree.
Right, like, you know, Falcone, who's in Batman Begins as well. Like, that's the plot. Like, and so here, the fact that there's dark cars and them talking to Drax, who we will get to.
Yes.
Is really remarkable.
I really liked the vibe of that. I mean, it's very Dick Tracy.
It is.
By the way, I love Dick Tracy. That is a whole subculture fetish. We're not even ready to go.
So you got a yellow trench coat somewhere. What's going on here?
Well, but like, okay.
Don't be silly. I keep it in the car at the ready, man. Pretty know where it's at, you know?
That was a previous episode, right? From 2 or 3 years ago?
Yeah, previous episode, Dick Tracy, and future episode, The Rocketeer.
Oh.
Which also has got a Dick Tracy looking dude in it.
Yeah.
Well, but I mean, first of all, Candace is 100% right here. The fact that he's the only one wearing, like, a ridiculous outfit with the purple. No. We need more people with, because, again, she's dressed like a lady aviator from the time, you know, like, she probably killed Amelia Earhart just to get her plane.
Pants.
She's a bitch for boots. She literally stole boots off a woman's feet. I mean,
I thought Salo's stole the boots.
Yeah, there's just...
We'll meet her later.
There's a level. You don't steal boots. Okay.
We should get to Drax because this is kind of where Drax comes in.
This is where Drax.
We haven't talked about my favorite character, which is James Remar. He's the dude who's collecting the skulls for Drax, and he's the one we meet in the cold open.
Oh, bad Indiana Jones.
Yes, James Remar, who we've seen as the second Lord Raiden in Batman and Mortal Kombat Annihilation.
Oh, how the mighty have fallen.
I mean, so yes, but also James Remar kicks ass, and he's just phenomenal.
He killed the previous Phantom. That's like a whole running secondary plot.
He was in previous episode Miracle on 34th Street that we just did with Kieko and such. He was in The Warriors, and he was in 48 Hours, and he was in Sex in the City. So there you go. He got
laid. I'd like to point out that I'm still a piece of shit and haven't seen I saw Miracle on 34th Street. The new one with the one in color, which is cute.
That's the one we
Oh, did you? That's a good one.
Yeah, he was the dude who was working for the other toy company, the one who at the end like opens the breast pocket and has the I Believe pin on him. Yeah, that's James Remar.
That's super cute.
Again, I like James Remar because to me, he's a character actor, like one of those that don't exist anymore. I mean, he exists, obviously, but he just has a good face and kind of a gruff accent. And so you're like, that's a movie star, where nowadays, like, and again, the Hemsworths are fine, but they're just good-looking dudes and they can't really act. Give me someone who's got a gruff 5 o'clock shadow and yells at you a bunch, and that's James Remar, who's wearing a skull belt because he killed the last Phantom, and that's pretty hot.
Yeah, and we've come to find out that Phantom that he killed is Kit Walker's dad.
That's right.
Who turns out is the ghost dad of the entire movie.
#ghost dad.
#ghost dad.
This is the better ghost dad, because the other one is Bill Cosby, and we don't need that guy in movies anymore.
Maybe the Phantom can punch him with the skull ring.
You really have the skull ring thing down, man.
I want to know. If you were the Phantom and you were fucking a chick, would you wear the skull ring?
Probably.
Yeah. She wants you to. I just want you to know that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
She's like, keep on. She's like, lose everything. Keep the ring.
Keep the ring. And maybe the mask.
Yeah. No, because then you know there's black makeup underneath there. Like, because, you know, it doesn't cover fully. Like, and then if the mask falls off, then they look like a raccoon.
I'm the world's, raccoon, the world's most ripped, angry raccoon.
Yeah, right. I mean, I'm sure there's some furry lore about that, but we.
I mean, you're there. We're there already. Oh my God!
Yeah, so we've kind of forgot about the bad Indiana Jones sequence. James Remar enslaves his little Indian boy to drive a truck for
them. That's true.
Well, and I mean, I just wanted to mention him because now that we're at Drax, other than the fact that he murders a librarian here, like
with a microscope,
which is that's something. He's like,
it's a vibe.
Like, he looks into the microscope and it just says,
Liar.
And then, it, I guess, lasers shoot him in the eyes.
No, it's not lasers. They were box cutter knives. And he had it. So when you did the focus, they came up. So I would like you to know the cornea is the most sensitive and highly nerved part of your body. The minute those things even slightly touched you, he would have jumped back. There's no way those things would have gone all the way penetrating into both of your corneas. That's not how it works.
Into your brain, I guess, because to die, you'd have to go all the way through.
Well, the guy probably has some.
Be high. I mean, you have an orbital bone that your eye is sitting inside, which is a tiny little optic nerve that goes to your brain. It would not be able to go all the way back to your brain, by the way.
He probably had some dude on hand just murder him once he blind.
Yeah, I mean, the worst thing that happens, you know.
I mean, I've
lacerated in both eyes.
I've had glasses for 20 years.
Yeah.
When they do the little eye poof, I can't.
It's scary, right? So trust me, the minute I physically every Tuesday have to mark patients with a pen on their eye in four places to make, because when you lay down, by the way, this is total the trivia here. When you lay down, your eyes physically rotate like this. They cyclo-rotate.
Yeah.
So when a doctor's doing surgery, they need to know the orientation of how much it cyclorotates in order to know where the 90 degree is, essentially, right? The north, south, east, west kind of concept. And so I have to physically mark that on patients. You better believe I'm the scariest person coming at them because they're like, what are you going to do with that? And you can't be like, hey, I'm going to fucking draw on your eyeball because they will like bite at you and shit. They're scary, right? Patients are ready to fight at all times. So you got to be real chill about it. Yes. And secretly do it.
Xander Drax kills a bunch of people. Like when one of the mafiosi won't go along with the whole satanic skull thing,
he just spears
him to death in a meeting.
As he should. I mean, I get it. It could have been an email. We understand.
We get there.
Yeah.
I that whole thing, you described that. There's a scene, it's a French movie called The Chien d'Andalou, where they just hold the woman's eye open and cut it with a knife. And I'm just like, that's all I'm thinking now. Because he's there like, I'm looking through a microscope. Oh, no. And it's just...
Zoinks.
But it is.
Yeah.
The whole movie has a Scooby-Doo kind of like... Because it's the bright colors. It's the stupidness.
Right. And again, the reason that he's out for the librarian is because one of the ways that the newspaper and Kit know that perhaps Xander is not on the up and up and that he's looking into dark magic, witchcraft, yeah, whatever the fuck you want to call it, is that he has been looking in the curated, specialty sequestered books at the library. The public, because you know what the way I bring down the mob? The public library. It's even more effective than tax evasion.
That's right.
So
it looks like you've been in the evil section of the library.
Mm-hmm.
All the evil.
Gets them every time.
From Hop on Pop to Mein Kampf, the evil section of the library for all your needs. And it's like, oh, the skull book, eh?
And 50 Shades of Grey? What were you doing reading this?
50 Shades of Treat.
I mean, he's a snack Williams right there.
Yum.
God damn it. This stupid city.
Yeah, Candace is eating the eye candy in this movie.
I am. I didn't expect you to say in this movie, because I was looking at you, and you were like, Candace is eating the eye candy. I was like, at this table? I was like, are we having eye sex, Matt? What is happening? And then you had them in the movie, and I was like, oh, okay, everything's fine again.
I thought
the tension was high for a second.
A very penetrating look.
I think I have lost some weight lately, so I think I got some my totter cheekbones.
God, you and your cheekbones.
My God, stop your well-sculpted cheekbones. Nobody wants to hear about that.
I mean, to be fair, right around here, so sexy daughter lady is flying back on a Pan American Airways.
That's right.
And then the plane is taken over by the sexy sky pirates.
That's
led by Catherine Zeta-Jones.
Correct, because we realize that even though the uncle who owns the newspaper wanted to go and meet with his contacts to find out what's going on, it's too important for him to stay in the city. And so instead, the lesbian Buffy is going to go, and she's on Pan Am, and they are boarded by sky pirates, which, by the way, there is nothing better than a good Valkyrie. I'm here for the Lady Valkyrie at all times. And it is led by Catherine Zeta. The minute. I didn't know she was in this movie, by the way. And this was also the first time I've ever seen this film.
Yeah,
I've seen it in 96, you know, Olympic summer, hashtag Atlanta Olympic summer.
Yeah, yeah.
This is fantastic. When she, the minute she opened her fucking mouth, I like lost my shit because I was watching this with Chris because we always watch these movies together.
Sure, sure.
And I was like, is that Catherine Zeta-Jones? And he immediately was like, which by the way, if you can't see me, I'm doing a very slow turn. Yes. Well, and I was like, I just went nuts.
She has a very kind of 1950s or 1940s starlet figure.
Chicago. I mean, like, she has that very, like, you know, I stabbed him 36 times kind of vibe about her. Like,
it's a sultry.
It's sultry, and it is
full femme, full femme fatale here, complete with leather.
Well, and I mean, and I will say, it's great because so much of the direction in this movie is not good. And she brings it herself.
She does.
She's like, I know what... No. You don't need to tell me what to do. I've got this.
I feel like they didn't even give her a script.
No.
They were just like, let Miss Zeta-Jones do as she pleases. And she just did like... She just like laid around and acted sexy and did weird shit. They were like, let her. She was kind of like the Madonna, again, in Dick Tracy.
It's
just like, I'm going to just show up and say sexy shit. And like get really close where you think I might kiss the other girl, but then I don't.
Well, because like when she comes in to Christy Swanson and does a thing over her ear.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I mean, Christy Swanson, for those of you, I mean, she was in Mannequin. She was in Hot Shots. She was in a lot of movies we've danced around, including Ferris Bueller. She's like Catherine Zeta-Jones seduces the pants off of everyone immediately. And then the second the Phantom lands on this rigid airship or whatever this thing is, ends up in the women's shower because, of course, jumps down a chute, ends up in the room, and then Catherine Zeta-Jones first bases it with the Phantom before questions are asked.
That's right.
And she goes, so all of your pirates are women. Interesting. And then she just it's hot.
It is hot.
Yeah, that is so 1989 Batman there. Interesting.
Yeah.
I just went full Barack Obama there. Interesting.
Is that Obama? Is that Obama I know? Let me sip on this.
Well, let's go back
and think about that, Nor.
Personally, I think Matt did an excellent Obama impersonation. Not racist at all. It's very Dana Carvey doing an Obama impression in front of a Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. It's just giving me the right note of like, are you fucking serious? But at the same time, I'm not offended.
When he's not in the White House or coaching his daughter's soccer team, he puts on a purple leotard and fights pirates.
Okay,
everyone needs a hobby.
That's true. Okay.
This is very interesting.
He did the thing with his ears, ladies and gentlemen. We also haven't mentioned his dog yet. Dog.
It's a dog. It's a
Devil.
Wolf.
Named Devil.
Devil.
It's a wolf named Devil.
And what was the horse's name? Because the horse had a name.
Shanovex.
The horse had a name, too, because Devil, his pet wolf, has been part of the lore forever.
Yeah.
Well, and also, at one point, the dog talks to the horse.
Yes. That's later in the film. Later in the film. All right. So now he is rescuing Diana. And now we've realized that somehow he knows her. We don't know exactly what context that they know each other. She doesn't recognize him, but he knows her. You know, he's like, I'm going to rescue you, yada, yada, yada. And she's like, thanks for untying me. I don't need rescuing. I'm a strong, independent woman, which, by the way, as someone who actually is a strong and independent woman, that is so fucking dumb when they do it in movies. I'm like,
you're tied to a chair and Catherine Zeta-Jones is trying to chew on you.
Actually talks like that. I'm like, I just want to punch you in your dumb fucking face. You know, this hot dude, he's here helping you out. Just be nice. Be like, great, let's roll.
Yeah, plus you should really recognize by his voice.
Right? I'm like, if you don't know a dude you smashed with by his voice.
Oh, there's so many.
He's not doing the Christian Bale thing
where you could maybe not think it's him, you know.
Right.
I'm the ghost who walks.
Yeah, and he's doing no special voice. He's doing the I probably called you and told you let's go out to Olive Garden in this voice.
That's right. The first Olive Garden.
Yeah, you know, when you're here your family.
They called it the Italian place.
I'll be having my house red, please. It's $4.99.
Garlic? It's pretty spicy for 1938.
It is. Well, what can I say? We live on the edge.
You gotta do it.
Interesting.
All right. So now the way they are escaping is they are jumping into a red beer and plane.
Yep.
And he of course knows how to fly, because why wouldn't he? Right? You learn that in school. We all do. And
the wolf has told the horse to run underneath the plane.
Correct. Yes. He's like, bark, bark. And he's like, what? The phantom's stuck in a well. And he's like, no, bark, bark, bark. And he's like, oh, he's on a plane and I need to be able to catch him as he jumps from a high altitude and break my fucking back in any other scenario. Yeah. But
split his taint to right in half.
Yeah. I was about to say he's landing crotch first at a horse. After jumping out of a plane.
I mean, I could do that.
Yeah, the dynasty.
The rest of y'all.
Yeah, the Phantom dynasty's about to end.
Right. Yes, I am. And looking great.
Crunch.
You know the show, Mr. Belvedere?
Oh, yeah. I remember that show.
Apparently, they had to stop a table read because he sat on his own testicles.
I did read that once.
Oh, at least he didn't land on a horse after them.
I know, right?
But yeah, essentially, he has to get Christy Swanson to land. Oh, you know who she should have been, by the by? You were just saying this, and it reminded me. A woman doesn't need to say she's a strong female character.
Yeah.
You know who doesn't do that? Marion from, again,
yeah.
Raiders of the Lost Ark. Yeah. She just outdrinks everyone and just punches a fucking Nazi.
Cool shit.
Our Lady of the Iron Liver.
Ripley from Alien.
Doesn't need to say a damn thing.
She don't need to say shit. You know, she just shows up with her fucking bush, and she's ready to fucking...
And her flamethrower and her cat.
Flamethrower in a bush and a cat. I'm like, that's...
Just to interrupt you, it's about to our sponsor, Flamethrower and Bush. Flamethrower and Bush. Just do it.
That's it. That's who I want to be when I grow up.
Those hip-hugger panties. She's like, nah, I'm going to fuck a xenomorph.
Yeah.
Or Jamie Lee Curtis in Halloween.
Yeah.
Just lady energy.
Right.
Strong lady energy.
You know how much money it took to airbrush her bush out of Alien?
I saw that.
Did you read that?
I did.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah, because they had her essentially wearing, not like a onesie, but she was wearing like, pajama pants. And she's like, no, I'm just going to wear my panties.
It's a high white panty with an A-line shirt, and they wanted her to shave, and she was like, no.
Yeah.
You know why? Because I'm fucking Scorny Weaver. I'll do whatever the fuck I want. And I'm like, god damn.
Well,
that is big bush energy.
And it was the 80s, so it was like, kind of high cut
on
the side.
High cut,
so like,
yeah.
Apparently, it was just like, there was just bush, and they're like, nah.
So they airbrushed it out, but just, you know. Hashtag justice for the bush.
How much do you think there was a dude who just saved those like frames? It was just like, because you know, that means someone went in and painted them out.
If he did, now is the time to cash him in for your 401k. Because there's a guy online who like paints beautiful like stuff, and I follow him on TikTok and whatnot. And someone wrote to him that he should include the bush in the photo, and he redid the painting with the bush, and it sold for like triple the amount as he originally thought. And I was like, the bush, she's back. Who knew?
Oh, man.
And
that film editor's name was Mr. Skin. And from there, he started an empire.
Exactly.
Oh, my God. Anyway, after the Phantom saves Christy Swanson, we're back on the stunt show Spectacular.
Yeah.
Because people are tracking him on the ground. This is where we have the vaguely natives here who are cheering. Because it's 1938, and so I guess technology or whatever hasn't reached them yet.
Mm-hmm.
So they're riding the white horse. They're going to these beaches. I mean, and this is beautiful. I don't know where they filmed this. I think Vietnam.
Thailand?
Okay.
Yep, I looked it up.
And there's some of it, I think, filmed in Australia. And there's some of it, of course, on a soundstage for the old buildings.
Sure.
But this is when he takes Diana to the Phantom Cave, I guess, which is very bad cave.
And he gives her a set of pearls, because every girl needs a good pearl necklace.
Whackity smackity doo.
They're black pearls, by the way.
Girl. Oh, my.
Trust me.
I also like...
I have no idea what joke should go here, but I'm just know that I really wanted to make either a black pearl or pearl necklace joke. I just, it wasn't coming. It might come back next time they see something black.
Like the building, I mean, I guess it's the cave that it's in,
yeah.
But it's the sad looking skull wall. It's like, it's a lot.
The skull cave is a lot. Cause I'm like, gee, I wonder where he's at.
That's right.
And then just so you know, the gates that are holding all the treasure behind it have a giant Z on them, by the way.
For sure.
And Chris and I were like, is this Zorro's cave they reused? We're like, is it because of Zane? And they did it like as a joke. And so we couldn't figure it out.
I will say that's one of the problems I have with this movie.
Yeah.
It either needs to be silly all the time or serious all the time.
Yeah.
It can't be in between.
It's definitely in between. It wasn't sure how serious. Like, it's almost like they wanted it to be serious. They showed it to an audience and they were like, ooh, this is too dark. And they were like, okay, we need to go back and make it a little more fun and zany and Dick Tracy and comical. Okay, we're gonna cut some shit and add some shit and then they kind of lost their way.
Well, but that's just it.
Just on that part.
And we keep saying Batman 89, which there's a lot of here, but this is the era of the Schumacher Batmans, and that's what this screams, right?
But at least they avoided phantom nipples.
You say that, but the vaguely gay stuff is all over the place here.
Let's talk about my favorite gay scene. My favorite gay scene is when
Captain Zeta Jones and Diana are groping each other.
That's actually not my favorite.
Oh, which one?
It's when Billy Zane uses his thunder thighs to choke two dudes. And all I could think about was it was very Grace Jones inspired.
100%.
In that I was like, if I was going to be murdered, the thought of being choked out by some fucking thunder thighs.
That's why Xenia on a top from Bond.
I'm going to need a towel. Will you hand me the towel behind you, please? Thank you.
Thank you. I mean, there's a reason I had to Scotch guard these chairs. But that was also, that's one of the Goldeneye things I talked about.
Yeah.
It's 95 Goldeneye is when Xenia Onatopp is strangling men with her thighs, right? And again.
I mean, some of us have been doing that prior to 95, but you know.
No, I mean.
Oh my.
Hot as shit.
So yeah, so that was probably my most favorite homoerotic moment, but definitely like anything with Zeta Jones, just
dude,
do it.
Smash she's her. A smoke show in this.
Smash her.
I don't know, man.
Anyways, when he gives her the black pearls, I would like you to know, I thought it was because I was like, wow, this is going to be an important plot point. Like, he's giving her this because that way, at some point, she's going to get kidnapped or get lost, and he's going to find those pearls and know that's where she is because he gave them to her. No, we never see it again.
Well, it foreshadows that he's able to pay a cabbie to be his, like, personal butler for a week with a bag full of gems.
That's Al the cabbie. Al the cabbie is really the unsung hero.
It's like future episode Highlander 2 when a Scottish-Egyptian Ramirez pays for like a suit with like a pearl the size of his fist.
Yeah.
So all like the staff of the store are like giving him cigars and whiskey and stuff.
And by the way, perhaps the reason you thought of this, and I need to double check this.
Speaking of fisting.
Skull ring.
Skull ring.
Oh my God, you broke my brain. Holy shit. So maybe you thought of this because Highlander is Christopher Lambert, who was Raiden in the first one. That's all I was going
to
say.
Oh, then you were trying to link the Mortal Kombat tapestry. Okay. All right. Sorry, we were busy
I am a god of thunder. I am also the ghost who walks.
That's right.
And I'm Connor McLeod. I've done a lot in 400 years, okay?
They said there could be only one, but I've been three.
That's right. Oh, gosh. I mean, speaking of, at this point, they do end up in New York.
Yeah. Back to New York.
That's right.
Meanwhile, back in New York.
Yeah, then that door.
He's win the pennant.
And that dorky guy who's pretty obviously after Diana makes himself somewhat useful.
Okay, here's.
Because he knows where the skull is.
He's a dorky guy. He's not dorky. He's gay.
He's 100%.
He is the gayest character that is in this movie. He loves to go to the musicals. He wants to go to Broadway. He just wants to go to a show and brunch, and he plays tennis. Ladies, if this is the vibe your man is giving off, stop. He's gay. Trust me, I've been there. I've lived your life, okay? He gay. He gay girl. It's okay. He could be your good girlfriend, but that's all he's going to be.
Or he could be a wasp.
No, this man is very gay. we were introduced to him at first at that big kind of fancy fundraising party. And
he was the one the aunt was really excited about was there.
Right.
So that way they could talk and then maybe get married and have babies. Because that's how I develop worth as a woman.
I mean, all those babies you've had. But in the back room, she just goes to the kitchen to make herself a sandwich because she's been traveling. And the guy's like, so what about us? What do you want to go back and forth? And by the way, what's in that sandwich? And she looks at him and goes, bologna. And like, and that's his character. Like, because...
He's this little puppy boy chasing, following after her.
And we all know.
Listen, he's having to live the lie. He's a beard. He's looking for a beard. He's looking for a chick to be like, oh, I'm really in love with Diana. She just won't marry me yet. I'm just going to go and hang out with Todd.
He's the guy I go to all the plays with. And then afterwards.
Todd loves the
we
theater.
We have cocktails.
So anyways, he's like, oh, yeah, I've totally seen that. But it was in green. Let me think about it. Oh, yeah, my 12th birthday at the History Museum. Again, gay. That's a gay birthday party.
But also, that's like the fayest way to say, I remember that. Oh, my word, my 12th birthday party. Like, it's a lot.
It's a lot. It was fantastic. His name is Jimmy, by the way, Jimmy Wells. And Jimmy Wells and Al are my favorite characters in the movie. Al the cabbie and Jimmy Wells, the closet homosexual, are my favorite characters.
By the by,
out of bounds.
Bye-bye. Al the cabbie is phenomenal.
He's fantastic.
Well, I was going to just toss out character actor. He plays a bus driver. He's Bob the bus driver from Speed. He's the guy that they knock out at the beginning.
Yeah.
He's also in Independence Day. He's in The Phantom the same year. He's in Seinfeld as a dude. He's also the sergeant in Ace Ventura. But he's a little... And Ace Ventura...
Is he the only guy who punches him? The Ace like shoves his face into the floor?
Yes, he's the guy who steps on a bug and he goes, hey, Ace, solve this one. He goes, well, I think the man who killed him saw the size of the bug's dick and got insanely jealous. And then he trips him and makes him kiss it. Anyway, he's just a great character actor. And the second he steps out, I'm like, it's that guy. Anyway, his name is John Capadice. And he's wonderful. He's a good dude.
Good dude.
Yeah. Hey. Anyway. So around here, we have a scene that has to happen in every movie where the mafia is. Again, Batman 1989, where the Joker asks people to say, are you with me or are you against me?
Oh, yeah.
And so at this
point...
We have
a council meeting.
That's right.
You gotta have a council meeting. It's a mandatory meeting, which could have been an email, because it was a slideshow with only two slides. There were only two slides, and we'd already seen both those pictures.
Xander Drax makes the pencil disappear.
He throws a spear at a man. And you know what? I didn't know what this movie needed, but apparently Treat Williams throwing a spear at a guy? That was exactly what I needed.
Well, what's that expression you like to use? Strong creative choice?
It was a strong creative choice.
It was. And then, of course, you know, again, you got to do a show of force if someone's not gonna believe in you.
That's right.
It's the Ōrino Ishii moment. It's the Joker moment. It's all those moments. Whenever you have a meeting, someone's like, I'm on the fence. And you're like... Well, then I totally understand. And then your fucking car blows up, right?
That's right.
You're for it. I love it. It's done. And so, yeah. So we did that.
Also, just to toss it out here, because I try to do the actors when we do these things. Previous episode, he is a star of Deep Rising, which was one of my favorite discoveries. But I think it was one of your suggestions.
Oh, yeah. This is my childhood. You know, B-movies, monster movies, second-rate superhero movies. I spread enlightenment wherever I go.
Well, but again, like, in this kind of a thing, he's phenomenal because he's just kind of a douchebag who is a good... He's a, like you said at the beginning in your intro, which may or may not still exist, depending on the edit, but he is a scene-chewing villain. And he's, again, he's just on top of this. It's wonderful. Totally wonderful.
Yeah, he is so, over the top. Like, I'm going to spear a dude to death at the meeting. I'm going to try and pimp the hero's girlfriend to an Indian pirate lord.
Yeah.
I have my little catchphrase, Xander Drax begins and ends with X.
I mean, first of all, you're 100% right. That's exactly it. He nails it. Everything else around this, though, the New York diversion is very strange. You know, Kit Walker is here trying to rekindle with his old girl who doesn't know he's the Phantom because...
When did you guys think she actually figured this out, that he was the Phantom?
When he said she was... When she found out he was the Phantom, like at the end of the movie, when he like practically says, It's me, Kit.
When she got fisted twice by the same ring.
Oh, my.
Hello.
I'm back. Yeah.
I mean, again, just this New York stuff is just so slow.
Yeah. So finally they leave the slideshow of evil. And then they all decide they are at the same time have decided or figured out where the jade skull is. And that's the museum. So they're heading there. Zane's heading there. Everybody's heading to the museum. We are now at the History Museum.
Yeah.
And we see the jade skull in a cabinet from a medieval display. So it's in the wrong place, wrong everything. And Billy Zane artfully, carefully, gingerly smashes it open and grabs it right out.
This is Killmonger in the British History Museum here.
Yeah. I think when he does that is when probably she's kind of getting the vibe that he might not just be like a college student anymore, that he's like maybe some shit went down.
I took over the family business, yeah. And now I'm shredded and kill people.
Exactly, right?
I also just like the stupid, like, again, it's a comic book cut where, like, mm-hmm. he smashes it. He jumps in, very Indiana Jones. Again, the fedoras are everywhere. He picks up the skull and is like, I've solved the problem. And then he turns around and Drax is just there with 1,000
goons. All his dudes are there.
And then he lures away all the witnesses by saying there's free cake.
Yeah, there are cake and sandwiches at the end of the Natural History Museum. And immediately I was like, cake and sandwiches in this economy? No way.
This is a depression.
No, I don't believe it. I don't believe it. This is the most unbelievable part.
This is the depression. Probably very easy to lure people with cake and sandwiches.
It would be. Yeah, it'd be, what, 3 years after, what, 29, the collapse? Is that when
Oh, this happened? Is 38. I mean, this is, but it's still the depression.
32. Yeah. 32 when the dad died. That's right. Never mind.
But I mean,
I thought it was close to that.
Then he has the skulls in the bag, and they start smoking, and then drama's happening. And this is where we find, like, this movie has too much magic for my taste, but
if you have two of the skulls, they automatically come together and they show you where the third skull is. Thank goodness we are in a venue which has a world map
on the wall,
which doesn't actually look like a world map we've ever seen, but that's fine. It's fun to make up fake places. And it shows and it points to the not Bermuda Triangle, but the...
To Skull Island, basically.
Skull Island.
Somewhere in Southeast Asia.
Magical mystery triangle, but not... But we were like, why wouldn't they just say Bermuda Triangle? Because they're like, this is where everybody goes missing. And I'm like, is that trademarked? Was that important? I don't know.
So everyone goes missing for a much more boring reason.
That's right. And so they're like, okay, we have to go to this island. Let's all go. And so they travel by map and they fucking head on over there or something.
Meanwhile, they take Kit off to interrogate him and he beats up the goons, puts on his full phantom outfit, which he must have been carrying with him the whole time.
He's wearing under his clothes, just like, you know, Superman or something, I guess.
It's true.
I guess.
And Al, the cabbie, you know, has him, you know, helps him chase the police escorted Xander Drax with Diana as a hostage.
It's true. I like the point where he's like jumping on all the rooftops of the cars and you see the movie screen there. The marquee, was a real letdown, though. They didn't utilize that to give us a little Easter eggy.
They should have done anything.
Batman
or Mask of Zorro.
It should have been, it should have been something like Phantom of the Opera or something really funny that has Phantom-esque, or at least some of the actors they had considered for being in the movie. That have been really funny to be in it, because, you know, originally they had thought about doing Dolph Lundgren as this character. Did you know that?
Rocky IV. Just advertised for Rocky.
Yeah, so just, I mean, he's amazing. I love him. So.
Oh, and I mentioned Sala's back, too.
Oh, yeah, he's back.
Wrong Sala.
Different Sala.
Catherine Zeta-Jones.
That's right.
I think she really, really wanted those boots that Diane had.
I mean, listen, do you know how hard it is to find a Saks Fifth Avenue boot in your size? You just don't know.
You don't know?
In the jungle. It's hard.
So at this point they're trying to figure out who's beating up people in the stairwells, I guess. And the Phantom's,
it's
like,
so weird, the kid's gone missing at the same exact time as the Phantom has shown up.
This is the stupidest part of, like, wait, are you saying he's the Phantom? Because, like, they literally, there's one other person there. He ducks around a corner, he's like, aha, I'm the Phantom. It's that other guy. Where could Kit have gone? Like, it's truly remarkably stupid.
Yep.
Meanwhile, I do love him running down the street, because, like, until we got the third Nolan Batman, we never saw Batman just dealing with people. But there's like women and dudes waiting for cabs. And he's just like, excuse me, I'm looking for my cab guy. And his cab guy's like, hey, who are you? And where's Kit? And he's like, never mind, fellow citizen. I'm going to jump on cars now.
I'm a friend of Kit Walker.
Which, by the way, who would he know as Kit Walker? Because Kit never introduces himself in the original scene with that cabbie.
No.
By the way, he could have been like, hey, I'm a friend of the guy who gave you all those fucking gemstones.
You could just pull another gemstone out of the pocket.
And then, yeah. What I really wanted is I like when cabbies or regular people like janitors, cabbies, you know, your classic working American character is in on the secret before everybody else.
Right.
I would have loved if he'd have been like, he'd been like, oh, thanks for those gemstones again. He'd been like, oh, you know, it's me. Like, I love that.
I never forget a face.
For anyone,
or voice.
For anyone who loves that kind of same thing that I like about that, Sherlock, the Benedict Cumberbatch episodes, there's a great episode about cabbies. And it's
London cabbies who have to know all the roads.
And they, well, they know everything and they know all the secrets because nobody cares about what they talk about in the back of a cab.
Right.
And it's a really, really cool episode.
So the taxi cab confessions?
Essentially, yes.
Also, since we have so much power in so many countries, make Sherlock easier to rewatch. It's so hard right now.
I know.
Like, I had a hankering around Chris Mahana Kwanzadon, and if I didn't own some of it on DVD, it's impossible to find.
I'm surprised Disney Plus hasn't picked it up like they've picked up Doctor Who because of their, you know, deal with the BBC. So
why not?
It would not surprise me if it ends up there, especially since, you know, he's really like intertwined in the Disney fandom now. So, yeah, we'll see.
I put it on Max. I want to be able to rewatch it again because I know everyone was obsessed with that show and they fell off in that fourth series.
The last season was rough,
but
real rough.
That doesn't mean it needs to be erased from history. I like these first three.
No, they're still amazing. And Martin, whatever the fuck his name is.
Freeman.
Yeah, he's amazing. And like
Bilbo.
Everything. Yeah.
Yeah, Bilbo.
He's good in everything, though. Like, he was in Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
He was.
Yeah, he's amazing in that.
Stay the fuck tuned.
Yeah.
I need to rewatch that. It's for the show. Listen to Required Reading. We did an episode on the books. But yeah, around here, after swinging through Central Park, we realize what he has to do is get back to whatever, that somewhere in Indonesia where this secret island is.
So like Indiana Jones, riding the submarine, he rides Xander Drax's airplane hanging onto the floaty thing for like a day or more.
It's true.
Dude. There's no way on this planet he held onto the bottom of a plane for, like you said, like Matt doing hyperbole. I do like that he brings the mafiosi with him, like, which is really something. But he must be on that plane because we don't get an Indiana Jones-esque map where there's dots because Spielberg would have sued the fuck out of him.
Sure would have.
But like, that's what this is. There's a scene here where they're literally on a plane. It must be for 2.5 hours.
In my mind, the only people who travel on map is not Spielberg. It's the Muppets.
Oh, 100%. 100%. We could travel by map. No, that's a good idea. Anyway.
This is my island in the sun.
Yeah, I'm going to fly in an airplane. I'm hanging out outside of an airplane from New York to the South Pacific. I must really be a god.
No, it works out. So anyway, so now they've arrived in the South Pacific mystery, whatever, and they are going to get the final skull, and they end up on the set of Pirate Adventure, the Orlando Dining Feast Extravaganza.
Because guess who? It's the Singh Brotherhood.
It is the Singh Brotherhood. And I like the fact that every single pirate on that ship was... Literally, they just raided the props department. One dude was dressed like he was going to play in the Anastasia, the musical, as like a Russian soldier. He's there. Everyone's there.
What?
And again, it when they first go into the cave on the boat, it looks like the opening to you're on the Pirates of the Caribbean ride in Disney. And then when they get to the set, it looks like that. And then when they get on the actual boat, it looked like if you've ever been to the Pirate Dinner Theater in Orlando... Which, if you haven't, you need to go. Because if you thought Medieval Times was great, wrong, bitch. I mean, it is great. But Orlando pirate show.
Yeah, it turns out one of the mobsters is a Sing Brotherhood member, which is why Drax and all that don't get shot right away.
That is correct. And then, of course, early on in this interaction, one of the pirates makes kind of a nasty comment to Buffy, the vampire slayer, that he's going to keep her and this is going to be for his. And obviously alludes to, like, you know, taking by force or rape or stuff. And so that's when Catherine Zeta-Jones is like, no, no, this is. Because there's an honor amongst ladies. You can hate a bitch, but if you think she's in physical danger of, like, a dude taking advantage of her, or if you don't have a tampon, that is it. That is the moment when we unite. But until then, you're my enemy. But if that happens, that's it. I'm here for you. We're best friends forever now.
Yeah, Sala is starting to have some second thoughts.
Yeah, now she's like, oh, shit, I think I may be on the wrong side.
Are we the baddies?
Yeah, are we the baddies? Totes, yeah.
Yeah, we should mention here that the pirate king, the guy that we see at the very beginning, it's like before even the cold open, it's in the opening credits, this spider web tattoo thing.
May have seen it as one of the two slides in the Xander must mandatory board meeting.
Yeah, the actor's name is Kari Hiroyuki Tagawa. He's in a million things. He is like one of those people with like 160 credits. But as Matt pointed out when we were texting during watching this, he's in Mortal Kombat.
He is.
He's Shang Tsung.
That's all that matters.
Yeah. He's also in the 2001 Tim Burton Planet of the Apes.
No.
And in License to Kill.
Don't care.
And by the way, he's
Mortal Kombat.
Because he's also in the Tekken movie. So that's double dipping. I don't think that's fair.
Does he perv on Diane too? Because, you know, that way he's two for two with the... perving on blonde women.
Yeah. I get the feeling that he doesn't really care. He's pissed off that people are in his place.
Like, true.
Yeah.
Even though I would tell you, I mean, it's nice to have visitors. What do you do all day? Just protecting the skull. You just hang out with your. It's a little bit of a sausage fest, y'all.
This movie is very much so a sausage fest.
There's only two chicks, and they're talking about one dude.
Hey, well, when they start talking about shoes, I think it passes the Bechdel test.
Oh, that's true. Good point.
I just wish...
I was trying to think of the name of that test. Thank you, Matt. You're so good about that.
I wish there was more with the lady guy pirates.
Yeah.
Like, there was like 30 of them that we saw showering.
I know. They couldn't make it the rest of the movie. It was an all-shower day. It was an everything shower day.
Yeah, she had given them spa day, knowing that they needed them.
You know how an everything day is. You get it.
Well, and, you know, check our Patreon riff on Debbie Does Dallas. Like, nothing like a 2-hour shower sequence.
Exactly. Nothing like watching pornography with friends.
Interesting.
Fair. That was fair. That one was fair. Anyway, so, I mean, God help me explaining the end of this movie. But at one point, Drax shows up and is like, hey, what can I do to get you in a skull today? Essentially, he wants a third skull because he believes with the third skull, he'll get to be Hitler or whatever.
Sorry. So, only to find that Mortal Kombat guy tells him that no, it actually takes four skulls, that there was one skull to rue them all.
Yeah.
Which is incidentally, we'll find out.
Incidentally. So, there you go.
I do kind of like the Ninja Pirates, because you're right. It's like they escaped the Pirates of the Caribbean, but they're also doing, like, flips and shit. They're like, ha-ha! and then they get taken aboard this, like, the deck of where there's about to be a musical number.
That's right.
And he's like...
It's HMS Pinafore, the revamp, the one you didn't know you needed.
Or maybe One-Eyed Willie.
Yeah, right? The rich stuff. That's what I'm here for.
But I do like how everyone just kind of fucking is sick of the Phantom. Because, like, when the Phantom shows up, Pirate Guy is mad. Drax is mad. Yeah,
he's like, I already killed this dude.
Catherine Zeta-Jones practically slips. She's so wet.
Yeah.
And everyone else is like, oh, damn it. It's him again.
Yeah.
Because he just starts killing people. Which, again, good on it.
At one point, he feeds Shang Tsung to a shark.
That's great. Yes, the sharks that just go around and circle. The animatronic shark that's just going around and around.
Because I think, you know, Shang Tsung had figured out what the Phantom really was. You know, he's not a god. He's a the dude after another dude and another dude. He's
exactly.
like, okay, you got to die.
And he was like, die with this secret, bitch.
Yeah, it's like it's like in the Rebels show when Darth Maul figures out that Luke Skywalker, so Obi-Wan just pulls a lightsaber out. Okay, bitch.
Well, I mean, but I think James Remar literally has a line.
The fact that you brought up Star Wars Rebels is so hot, Matt. But please continue.
I didn't know you watched Rebels.
God, I love Clone Wars. I love Clone Wars and Rebels and a lot. Like, more than anyone should. But please continue.
I dig on them. I wish that they didn't try to bring them into the live-action shows so much. Because the live-action shows reference it constantly.
Yeah.
But I will say, the animated shit is good.
It's amazing.
Hey, I saw the clip from Ahsoka where you first see Thrawn again. All the stormtroopers are chanting his name. I need a hype man, a hype army.
I read the original trilogy. Have either of you read the new Thrawn stuff?
Yeah, you gave them to me. I haven't got.
I read the original yet. Thrawn by Timothy Zahn's original.
He's a masterpiece.
I met Timothy Zahn in Ohio randomly. An event Chris was having to be a vendor at Origins Game Convention,
yeah.
And he had no stars listed. And I was just walking around the hall, and at the very back, there was a dude sitting there with some books. And I was like, and I went out, and he's like, hi. He's like, I'm Timothy Zahn. And I was like,
oh, my God. And
I literally died. I mean, I was like, this is the greatest day of my life. And I sat and chatted with him for like 30 minutes. He's such a cool dude.
I just imagine like that episode of Aqua Teen Hunger Force, your top just disappeared. You're just like, I'm Tim Zahn. Just like, boop.
It's exactly like that, actually. Did you know, by the way, speaking of Aqua Teen Hunger Force, one of my best friends is married to Carrie Means, who...
No kidding.
Yeah, who plays the voice of Frylock.
Yeah.
So just random fact. Continue.
That's a weird voice in the bedroom.
It is.
I'm just going to say. Like, and again, I get it. Baritone. Everyone likes the deep voice.
I don't know.
But like, at the same time, it's like, I will command. It's just like, ooh.
Yeah. He's a totally earth guy.
I love Master Shake. I'm sure that's a voice. It's not a real voice. It's a voice that he does. That'd be a weird voice in the bedroom.
It would. Continue.
I am. Just thinking about Frylock.
And this is when Sala finally flips. She and Diane just start taking out pirates.
Yes. Now they've decided girl power. They've got to get together. They got to just fight bitches because they got to get the fuck up out of there.
And meanwhile, Tree Williams, now with the third skull, puts them together and just starts laser blasting shit.
Yeah.
It's really stupid.
It is.
But it's fun. It is fun.
Including one of his own minions who was in the process of beating up the Phantom.
Yeah, he's like, no, mine. Mine.
And it turns out the fourth skull is the Phantom's ring, and they do like a...
It's Spaceball. My Schwartz is as big as mine.
They have a priori incantantum thing with the three skulls and the Phantom skull.
Yeah.
And Drax unconvincingly explodes.
It's true.
But again, the Schwartz. He's literally doing the thing with his ring, and then there's another laser beam.
I have a question. Obviously, Drax explodes. Do you think those three skulls exploded too? Are they gone forever now?
I hope so, because that means there's not a sequel.
Originally, this was supposed to be three movies.
I'm sure it was.
A trilogy. They originally had it planned for that, by the way.
This lost so much money.
A ton of money.
This lost 1996 money, yeah. So...
So Drax blows up, and then everything's fine, and then they decide to... You know, he takes her back to his cave. Now we're back, and he's telling Buffy about the secret. He's unveiling all... He's pouring out all of his innermost feelings and secrets. And then he's like, you know... I can show you. And she's like, show me your face, Kat. Yeah, Ariana. And he's like, okay, but only if you're going to marry me. And she's like, okay, bye. And then she leaves with Catherine Zeta-Jones, and they probably smash all the way back to New York.
That's right. They have an interesting yarn shop later.
I bet they love cats. I bet they love antiquing on Saturdays.
Brunch. Definitely brunch. It's just so funny that... She, like, kind of goes up to him and goes, like, this is your shot. You have one shot. And he's like, I have to protect the jungle. And he's meanwhile, Catherine Zeta-Jones is like, could have told you that was coming. Like, it's so clear.
Yeah, I think in the comics, they had a won't they for, like, 40 years. And they eventually got married in 1977.
And then she applied for Social Security. Like, it's just, whatever.
So that was it. And again, you know, because knowing that they wanted a second and third film, I'm sure that would have shown her coming back and then, you know, and them getting married and blah, blah, blah. And maybe then at the very end of the third movie and they have a baby and that's going to be the new family.
And the comics, they had two.
Really?
The littlest phantom.
Yeah, I think they had twins and one was a girl, and in the Defenders of the Earth show, the Phantom's daughter actually took over for him for a bit.
Well, you know, what can we say? The future's female. They love that shit.
And at one point, the dad's ghost is like, you idiot.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is literally how it ends, because, like, again, I say GoldenEye 95, but, like, she walks down the beach, like it's literally the end of the movie. Well, the difference is she walks off with Xenia on a top. Like, is it so? Because he's like, don't worry, I've got to protect the jungle. And she gives him a kiss just to be like, we could try this.
Yeah.
I think she thinks he's gay too. Because, like, she makes the move, she makes the eye contact, and he's clearly not feeling anything. Yeah. She leaves with the. It's the better choice.
It's the second movie that could have been Jimmy Wells comes back to be with him. That's the fan fiction I'm here for.
Better than all the children that work for him.
True.
Or some sort of love rhombus, the Phantom, Jimmy, Diane, Sala.
I'm here for that. That is the polycule I didn't know I needed.
Dude, and by the by, if Sala provides air support for his, that's interesting. Dude. Like, it's half Tailspin, half better movie. Like, there's so much here.
Speaking of Tailspin, I believe the same composer that did the music for this film also did McDuck and Tailspin and all that kind of...
Diesel punk.
Yeah, Disney. Yeah, did all that music. Yeah, yeah. It's a random fact, but...
All right, so
we're here at the end of the film. What happens now?
Well, Robert Evans gets his money's worth. This movie lost half of its budget. That's not counting advertising and stuff. This was a flop and a half. Nor, of course, if you're editing this, which you better be, you fucker, you can edit yourself in.
Don't
here.
Don't talk to him like that. It's my friend.
He's the best. He's out right now after having, let's just call it a little bit too much Chipotle.
Oh, God.
No, Matt.
It wasn't Chipotle, more so a week or 5 days old Chipotle in my fridge. Inflation's real, but this is why you should always date your leftover food, guys. More importantly, just throw away food after one day, especially to-go food. It's not worth it. Maybe Burger King fries after you put them in the air fryer or something, but like, it's not worth it to have Chipotle ever after more than 2 days. Don't wait 5 days like me. It's not good.
I didn't dislike it as much as it sounds like you guys did, but it could have been better. I mean, the Phantom deserved better than this.
Okay.
But so, it's still fun.
Well, then I will go next and say, you are wrong. I did not dislike this movie.
Oh, you guys.
I'm joking about it, riffing on it. But I loved this movie. I'd never seen it before. It was super duper fun. It was all the campiness that I desired from like a Dick Tracy film. But a little bit of action, very Indiana Jones-esque. Billy Zane is, you know, he's fun. Catherine Zeta-Jones is hot as shit. And so overall, funny enough, I would absolutely watch this movie again. I'm glad you recommended it.
Oh, thanks.
Yes. So Matt, once again, forgetting how the format of the show works after 10 years, I thought this was fine. I watched this on an airplane. I had it on my iPad. And there was someone sitting next to me who kept looking over like, what the fuck is he watching? I will say, there are parts that drag considerably, like the stuff in New York, like
sure.
This movie is not great. As we referenced before, it's referencing three movies I love, five-star movies, like Batman 89, like Indiana Jones and the Raiders of the Lost Ark, and of course, GoldenEye 64. GoldenEye 1995.
GoldenEye 69, baby.
Oh, God. Xenia on a top and on a bottom. But... this movie is schlocky. I understand why they didn't make more. I understand why it lost money. And, of course, I understand why why people didn't come out to see this. However, it's, as we are speaking, it is on HBO Max, so I didn't pay a dime to see it.
Same.
and I had fun watching it. So if you are not alone, if you're by yourself, this is not going to do it for you. You've got to watch it with someone that you can, you know, kind of elbow in the ribs and be like, what on earth is happening? This is kind of a what's it? This is a kind of seeing is believing situation more than anything. Like, this is not as good as any of the movies we mentioned, but it is kind of a fun watch.
It's a fun one.
So, Matt, why don't you tell us what we're watching next week?
We're going back to the jungle where you're going to die, because the lions are going to eat you. The Ghost in the Darkness.
Oh.
Which I think, isn't it the same year?
Yes, it is.
1996. This is Michael Douglas producing and starring alongside of Val Kilmer, one of my favorites to ever do the game. So thank you for listening. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for sharing us and reviewing us. The reason we charted in 52 nations last year was because you do all those things to keep us relevant. So thank you and bye.
Bye.
Wow. Look at you. We made it to the end of the podcast. Wasn't that great? Wouldn't they say it was funny? Huh. Well, thank you. Thank you, and have a wonderful, exceptional day.
Myopia Movies is a podcast production of Dude Letter Podcasting and is produced by Nick Hoffman. It is edited by Ner Trinette and Daniel Sellis and is hosted by Nick Hoffman, with production assistance by Matthew Quinn, Daniel Suttis, and Ner Trinette. The theme song is Surf Shimmy by Kevin MacLeod from incomptech.com. Licensed under the Creative Commons by Attribution 4 license, Creative Commons / licenses by /4. Thanks.